Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Devil's Bites, Fairy Fingers, Virgin Mary's Ladder. Some of the mysteriously named wildflowers that are currently in bloom around the countryside. You don't need to go to the Burren to see them. They are growing in gardens and abandoned spaces and nooks and crannies all over the country. Joining me now to talk about the weird and wonderful stories behind the names of our most recognisable wildflowers is Aideen na hÉireann, who runs Bláthanna na Fianna walking tours on Inishman. Very good morning to you, Aideen.
Good morning, Philip. How are you?
Very good. The names come from a number of different places. Let's talk first about Christianity's influence on some of the names, because obviously, you know, we had St. Patrick co-opting the shamrock to his purposes, but there's plenty of other examples.
Absolutely. There's so many, and we especially see this in the Irish language names of the plants. And that's really where my fascination with the wildflowers came from, looking at their Irish names and seeing what stories we can wrangle out of them. And when we do look at them, we see over and over again, we see this word muise. So muise, many of us are familiar with that. There's just the one lady, and that's our Holy Mary. The Virgin Mary comes up time and time again in the names of our wild Irish plants. We have things like Dreimre Muise, which means Holy Mary's Ladder. So imagine looking at, I look at these names first through the Irish language lens, and we go from seeing a little pink flower to all of a sudden we're like, why was the Holy Mary climbing a ladder? You know, didn't she have someone to do that for her? Or where was she going? And what does it have to do with this tiny little pink flower? It's quite like a star. People might see it in car parks, by roadsides, even by kind of seaside coasts. These little flowers, they have little green leaves that spring up two on either side. And all of a sudden, things start to make sense. And we see how people might have seen how it looks like a ladder. And then this story comes up.
Is it at least a climber or a creeper? No?
No, it's tiny. It's about 10 centimetres off the ground. So it seems like the people naming the flowers had great faith and great imagination.
That it would grow one day to climb to dizzy heights.
Well, absolutely. And another one we see that I really like that we can see this time of year is called Cuil na Muise. And Cuil na Muise, it's also called Mullein, Greater Mullein, which, as you can see, is no crack at all. But when we look at the Irish name, our Cuil na Muise, all of a sudden we have Holy Mary's Candle. And this is marvellous because it does reveal a lot about our tangible heritage, actually. And these long mullein plants, they have beautiful yellow flowers. They're quite like primrose flowers, but they grow on a tall stem, almost as tall as a foxglove, again in scrubland. But this tall stem of the flower, it would have been dipped in tallow long ago and set alight, and it was used as a torch or a candle. So this was Holy Mary's Candle, given to us by, you know, faith on high, in the form of a beautiful yellow flower.
There are some of those from the other side of the aisle, if you like. The Devil's Bit Scabious.
Absolutely. Well, you kind of need the yin and yang, don't you? When you have our Holy Mary, we also need to look from down to hell, and we have stories about the devil too. So again, this is a lovely flower that people might see now, especially on coasts. I know in the Cliff Walk in Ballybunion, I was there recently, this used to grow there. Devil's Bit Scabious, we see it in Irish too. It's called Grime on Jowan, or Grime on Jowl. And that means the grip of the devil, or the bite of the devil. And again, we get a great insight into our native Irish folklore. And the story goes that this was a healing plant, a healing herb. And because of this, loads of people were getting cured that were destined for hell. And the devil down below was raging because it was getting a bit empty down there with the fire and brimstone. So he crept up out from the underground and determined to put the kibosh on this healing herb. He took a bite out of the root, but unfortunately, too powerful was the herb that it survived anyways and continued to heal people. But the bite of the devil was always left in it, and that's how it got its name. Grime on Jowan, Grime on Jowan. And again, Philip, until you look into the Irish names of the flowers, you just look and see a little blue flower here. You wouldn't have an idea of all of that that richness of lore that's just underneath the surface of the soil.
Indeed.
In the root.
Now, from a plant that has healing properties to one that has exactly the opposite, did people know that foxglove was potentially so lethal when they gave it its really rather innocuous sounding names, either foxglove or little fairy fingers?
Well, absolutely. And this is a common misconception. Now, in the study of folklore, there's this thing we call Disneyfication. And that's where people now, they hear the word fairy and they think of a cute little Tinkerbell with little wings and a kind of a cutesy image. Whereas, again, when we look at our own culture, the fairies were not talked about lightly, and they were really feared in Ireland. So when we then look at the Irish names, things that are associated, like the Mairi Ní Sí, the foxglove, the fairy fingers, she's also sometimes called Lust na Mán Sí, the banshee's flower. So once we see fairies mentioned in the title of a flower, especially a wildflower, this is like a red flag. This is a warning. A fairy flower is not something to be treated lightly. And this then again gives us some very practical information that the foxglove is quite dangerous. So gardeners especially would know the foxglove as its Latin name, which is the digitalis. And this is going to start to ring bells for people because digitalis, of course, is a heart medicine, but given to people to regulate the heart, because what it really does is it slows the heart down. So if you were to ingest some of this lovely, beautiful pink foxgloves that I certainly played with as a child, and I think lots of other people do, we put them on our fingers. But if you were to ingest it by mistake, which sometimes maybe children would, children are lethal. They eat anything. You know, it goes straight
Well, if it looks as attractive as a foxglove, you can hardly blame them.
Exactly. So this is it. If they were accidentally ingested, or even people out in woodlands now, if their animals were to ingest it by accident, it could actually slow the heart to the point of stopping, and people did die from it. But again, it would have seemed possibly like a really mysterious sudden illness. And things like that, mysterious illnesses, sudden deaths in Ireland, that was always linked back and blamed on the fairies, na Déanna Maithe, the good people. And again, looking at one flower, we get this huge scope into a lot of our old beliefs.
That is amazing. So when you look at a foxglove neck, do not think little fairy fingers, think banshee flower. Now, this next one is going to prove to be controversial. Why is it, Aideen, that the honeysuckle has such a bad reputation?
Well, now, this depends. I think in a lot of places the honeysuckle has a beautiful reputation. I personally love it. Lots of people, of course, will call the honeysuckle woodbine as well. It's also called phailin, phail oak, and it's called honeysuckle because there's a little drop of honey to get out of it, which lots of people used to pick when they were younger and enjoy getting the nectar from the flower. However, in certain places, this is a kind of a tradition maybe would have come over from Britain. We see it in the east of the country, that it was considered kind of unlucky, bad luck to bring the honeysuckle into the house. And again, when we trace this tradition back to Britain, we see that it wasn't really unlucky for everybody. It was only unlucky for young women. And why is this, you're wondering? So when we look further into it, there was this idea that the honeysuckle would give young women erotic dreams. Of all things, God forbid. God forbid women be having a good time.
We can't be having any of that now.
But there's a lot of sense to it.
Is there any scientific proof to this?
Well, I think so. So one thing people will have noticed, especially if they're walking the hedgerows at night, maybe they have honeysuckle in their gardens, the smell of the honeysuckle, once the sun goes down, once it comes into that twilighty kind of a time, it really intensifies, becomes really sweet, intense smell. And I suppose in a way, you know, you can see how it made sense to people. Something with such a sweet and enticing smell that only became potent at night time, that's very easy to associate with the erotic. And, you know, that's it. Lock up your daughter. Keep them in. Keep them away from the honeysuckle in the evening.
I know, but it's interesting, though, isn't it, that it actually comes from the buttoned-up Brits as opposed to the church trying to impose its idea of sexual morality on flowers.
Well, this is it. But of course, there's a scientific reason for it too. So the honeysuckle, it's not just trying to get people excited in the evening. It's trying to entice pollinators. So honeysuckle depends on moths. So that's why in the nighttime, moths, of course, would be coming out. They'd be going looking for food in the evening, and they get attracted by this beautiful honeysuckle smell, and they come and they work their way into it, the little moths. And similarly, even bats will sometimes pollinate the honeysuckle. We often see it growing in our native woodlands, creeping prettily over the trees. And if you were out with the night goggles, you might see the bats flitting and floating in and out of them. They've got a nice long tongue that gets them into the flower, and they can get out that sweet nectar, the honey.
A quick honourable mention, finally, please, to ladies' bedstraw, which has quite a practical function.
Absolutely. Ladies' bedstraw is one of my personal favourite flowers, and actually it's another Holy Mary flower. We can't get away from her. In Irish, this is called Rue Widow. And then in even the English, ladies' bedstraw, a lot of places this will be called Our Lady's bedstraw. So we see that kind of Christian secret messaging coming through again. But bedstraw is marvellous. This is our natural Irish potpourri. People now might have seen it the last couple of weeks growing excellently on coastlands all over Ireland. A fluffy yellow flower, really sweet, smelling like sweet hay. And the bedstraw, the clue is in the name. This plant was woven into the straw of people's beds because, of course, in this country and in lots of other places, our mattresses were traditionally made from straw. You just want to see what people could have done with straw long ago. They're marvellous creations. I often say Turlough Park in Castlebar has the Museum of Country Life. They have a marvellous exhibition of straw. And the straw mattress, like what we see there, ladies' bedstraw would have been woven in to keep it smelling fresh, but also it had a double function. What smells good to us will often keep away biting insects like bed bugs, fleas, things that, you know, kind of nip you in the night. So it was really, really useful for that purpose. Then that going from the bedroom to the kitchen, all of a sudden we have people using ladies' bedstraw for making cheese. So it was very common for people to have their own cow in Ireland long ago, to be milking the cow, making their own milk, their own cream, their own butter. If they had a bit left over, so of course they'd go make a bit of cheese as well. But to curdle the cheese, we often see now people using rennet, which is an animal product. But once upon a time, we could actually use the lady's bedstraw, which has a natural chemical process that acts like rennet. And when mixed through the milk, it would cause the milk to curdle quicker, speeding up the cheese making process, and all available free and easy on our doorstep in our wilds.
Well, that was an education and a tonic. Aideen Lehearney of Blaha na Fianna Walking Tours on Inish Man, thank you very much for talking to us this morning.
Thank you.
After the break, we're going to be talking about if we should future-proof our buildings to prevent overheating.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.